Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. If you drive off the P&O ferry at Kernran and you're heading to Dumfries, as you just come out onto the road, it'll say Dumfries 79 miles. And just less than halfway, you'll bypass. Well, because off the bypass from the early 80s, all those little towns and villages that you'd have once gone through, they're all bypassed now. But you'll bypass the Gatehouse of Fleet, little town called the Gatehouse of Fleet. Just about a mile or so before that, you'll see a little sign pointing to the left saying Anwath. And it's just about a mile long, that little road. There's a few houses. And on the right-hand side at the bottom are the ruins of an old church. And the Scottish Covenanter Samuel Rutherford ministered in that church in Anwath. He was born in 1600, died in 1661. I love just Scottish Covenanter history and visiting places like that. And I've been there a few times, and it's lovely and quiet, and there's a lovely historical plaque that tells you all about him, and it's just a lovely place to be. But in the course of his ministry, in the verses that I read to you this morning, the seven verses here, Samuel Rutherford preached 27 sermons. Now, I don't think this is the first of 27 sermons from these verses. You'll not be in these verses until October. But it just shows you what he was able to get out of these verses. Now, the lovely thing about the Gospels is what you read, you may read it again in another gospel. There are some things, like the feeding of the 5,000, that's recorded in the four gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The parable of the sower is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The prodigal son is only mentioned once in Luke chapter 15. But we read of this woman twice. And we must read about her again, because Matthew gives a lot more information than what Mark does. So the coverage of Mark is seven verses, and Matthew gives eight in chapter 15. And we'll have to look at these verses, and we'll just take time and read them, and we'll work between the two, because between the two, we get the full picture. Matthew 15 and verse 21 down to 28. And here's Matthew's account. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now you'll see that Matthew mentions some things there that Mark doesn't. And there's an American a writer, Herbert Lockyer. He's now dead, but he wrote a series of books, All the Women of the Bible, All the Men of the Bible, All the Prayers of the Bible, and so on. And he describes this woman as this remarkable female in Bible biography. This remarkable female in Bible biography. And it's nice that on this Mother's Day, and we're not going to forget about that, in the prayer meeting this morning, we thank God for mothers. And it's nice that in the studies in Mark here, that it features a mother, a very concerned mother for her wee daughter. We don't read of any husband. Maybe he's dead. Maybe she's a widow. We don't know. Doesn't mention any other children. Just that she has a daughter who's in trouble. This mother is going to fight for her daughter. This mother has no one else to turn to. She can't help her daughter. She has no one else to turn to but Christ. Let's not lose sight of that. And the ones that we have here in this passage, we have Jesus. If you bring the two together, we have Jesus. We have the disciples, whom Mark doesn't mention. We have the woman herself, who remains unnamed. We have her daughter, who remains unnamed. We have the demon, the evil spirit. More about that in a moment or two. But let's just keep focused on the Lord Jesus. And I just want to look at four things, to draw out four things about the Lord Jesus here. We want to see the place where he went, the person that he met, the power that he defeated, and the peace that he gave. The place where he went. Mark says Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. And Matthew says to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, as you read that and read past it, you mightn't take much notice of that. But this may well have been the only time, and this is what causes this passage of Scripture and this episode to stand out. This may have been the only time in the public ministry of Jesus when he was outside Hebrew territory. Now, the Lord Jesus didn't go to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which is now modern-day Lebanon, round about there. Mark mentions a house, whereas Matthew doesn't. It says that he entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. Did the Lord Jesus go there for a rest, along with his disciples? But I like to think, about it like this, that the Lord Jesus had a specific reason for going to this place, to Tyre and Sidon. Just the same way as in John chapter 4, we read that he must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to. Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, John chapter 4 says, and they sort of went a roundabout way to avoid going into Samaria. But it says that Jesus went into Samaria. Why did he go to Samaria? Because he was going to meet who we know as the woman at the well. Another woman who had needs, who had great spiritual needs. She came every day to draw water from that well. But one day she came that was going to change her life because Jesus was there waiting on her. She didn't have to go seeking him. He was there waiting on her. So the Lord Jesus was very much in Tyre and Sidon, in Gentile territory. Remember, these were days before the cross. Before he died upon the cross, there was a trickle of Gentile converts. But after the cross, there was a torrent when the gospel went to all parts of the earth. When Jesus said to his disciples before the ascension that you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's very much into Gentile territory. And we see that unfolded in the book of Acts. And here we have one of those examples of a Gentile showing faith in Christ. Christ is the only one who can meet her need. No one else can. Mark doesn't mention the disciples, but Matthew does. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." You see, there was still that thing within the disciples. And even Jesus said that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Matthew says that. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And here is a Gentile who could have felt excluded and could have said to herself, well, there's no point in me asking any more questions. There's no point in me coming here for help. I'll just go back home. But here we have a lesson here of persistence in prayer. And here we have this lovely thought too, that Jesus went to this house, Mark tells us. And knowing the omniscience of Jesus, that he knows all things, he knew about this woman. And he knew that this woman was going to seek him out. How she heard of Christ, we don't know in being in this pagan territory. And even how she addressed the Lord Jesus in Matthew, crying out, "Lord, Son of David." Very much knowing about Jesus' Jewish roots. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Lord Jesus was in this house, but the Lord Jesus knew that this woman was going to come and rap his door. He was there waiting on her. And those of us who are Christians this morning in the congregation, When you came to that moment when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus was there waiting on you to come. He always takes the initiative. The Lord Jesus wasn't on a wee mini break to the coast here. He knew this woman was coming looking for him, and he would be there to help her. And that moment when you trusted Christ, and some of you are from more worldly backgrounds than I was. I was saved when I was only in P7. I don't know much about the world, about smoking, drinking, all that kind of thing. I know nothing about it. But I knew that I needed to be saved. And there's some of you are from backgrounds like that, and maybe worse. And when you came and called upon the name of the Lord was there waiting on you. Because we love him because he first loved us. In any parables of the lost sheep, the sheep didn't go looking for the shepherd. The shepherd went looking for the sheep. And here was a lost sheep. And the shepherd was there waiting for her to come. The place where he went. We see the person that he met. It says in Mark here, in verse 25, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. Matthew says that she was a Canaanite woman. She was of terrible stock because the Canaanites had an awful history in the Old Testament. Here's a woman who was brought up more in darkness than in light. And Matthew or Mark doesn't say too much of what she said. Mark just records, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. But Matthew gives so much more. She cries in verse 22, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Then she says in verse 25, and this really shows her desperation, the woman came and knelt before him, Lord, help me. She was certainly at the end of her tether. Nobody else could do anything for her, only Christ. And I think there are some lessons that we can bring out here. And one of the lessons is this. It's a lesson in prayer, to persevere in prayer. Have you been praying for someone or for some issue in your life, maybe for years? You feel like giving up? Here's a woman who would encourage us to pray on, to not let go of God. One writer has said this woman's faith was great because she persisted in asking and trusting when everything seemed against her. Her race was against her. She was a Gentile. Her sex was against her, for most Jewish rabbis paid little attention to women. It seemed that the disciples were against her, and Christ's words might have led her to believe that even he was against her. All of these obstacles only made her persist in asking. And the Lord Jesus again mentions something that Mark doesn't. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. Strange behavior from Jesus, isn't it? Jesus did not answer a word. And it seems that he just ignored her and said to the disciples, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. You know, the Lord was just testing this woman. The Lord was drawing this woman to himself. Jesus did not answer a word. That might seem harsh. It might show a lack of sympathy. But the Lord Jesus was just testing her. Lord, help me, she cried. And Jesus said, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. And that might have even put her off again. But then she replied, that might be so, Lord. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And when Jesus said it is not right to take the children's bread, the children was Israel. The bread were all the blessings that God had for Israel. And toss it to their dogs. The dogs were the Gentiles. The Jews looked upon the Gentiles as those untrained, untamed, scavenger, mongrel dogs. But the Lord Jesus didn't have those dogs in mind. He had the little house pets. Where when people were eating the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now some of you maybe have dogs, have some kind of pets, and you're eating on the table, and there's the wee thing looking up at you with those wee eyes, and you just give it something to eat. It's that little type of dog, you know. And this, the woman is saying here, you know, that might be so, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. All I'm asking for, she says, is just to have some crumbs of mercy. Just crumbs. Just give me crumbs. Let me go home to my daughter with crumbs. Just help her in some way. This woman was the beginning of what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. And he was speaking of Gentile converts. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The place where he went, Gentile territory, the person that he met, we see the power that he defeated. Verse 25 of Matthew 7 says, in fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit, a little daughter. No, this wasn't an adult. A little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. And we don't know how affected she was, but we read in Matthew, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Again, we are left to wonder how, but suffering terribly from demon possession. Demon. What is a demon? A demon is an evil spirit. You will already have covered Mark chapter 5, and you will have read there of the Gadarene demoniac, as he's called, Legion. The Lord Jesus asked him, what is his name? He said, Legion, for we are many. A legion was something like 6,000 Roman soldiers. Was this man possessed with 6,000 evil spirits. This is maybe a world that we're not too familiar with, and yet it's a real world, evil spirits. Let's not underestimate the power of the devil and the existence of the devil and what he does. And you will study whenever it comes to chapter 9 of a boy who was demon possessed. And if you turn there, just for a few verses, Mark chapter 9, verse 17 says, "A man in the crowd answered, 'Teacher, I have brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not.'" And verse 20 says, "They brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth." Now, observe this. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "From childhood. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him." So you can see just the effect that this evil spirit had on this young boy, who may by this stage have been an adult, but he had known this most of his life. And verse 25 is where Jesus addressed this spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse. That's because he was probably shattered. He was exhausted. That many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. So we don't know at times just the effect that evil spirits have in this world. And let me just give this as simply as possible. And here's another example in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Mary Magdalene, whom we are well aware of, out of whom he had driven seven demons. Again, we don't know what she was involved in and why she was possessed of seven demons. But here we have where the Lord Jesus had the victory in each case, because to Jesus, Satan must bow. He is the lesser power. And here's it put very simply. In God's creation, God created an innumerable company of angels. The Bible gives us figures that boggle the mind, in Daniel and Revelation especially. Figures like 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels. That was a fixed number created. Angels don't procreate. It's a fixed number. Now, somewhere between creation and the fall of man, Lucifer, who we know as Satan, rebelled and was cast out of heaven. A third of those angels rebelled with him. And they're the ones that have been causing havoc in the world ever since. So you have, this is the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. You have Satan, and you have the demons / angels / evil spirits, a third of the angelic creation. Then you have the triune God and the two-thirds of the good, sinless angels that benefit the church. And those of us who are Christians, we know the ministry of angels. We don't each have a guardian angel. The church has guardian angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation?" So Satan fell, and a third of the angelic creation rebelled with him. And we glean that from Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and Revelation 12. And Revelation 9 tells us that towards the end of time, there will be an increase in demonic activity. And here's an example of what Jesus came to deal with in Tyre and Sidon. So we have a lesson in prayer here, but we have also another lesson. This woman who grew up in darkness is a rebuke to those who were brought up in light. And there's people in the church this morning, in any church in Northern Ireland, who've been coming to church all their life, hearing the gospel all your life, and you're still not saved. And a rebuke to you is, there could be somebody who hears the gospel in another country for the very first time, and they're saved on the spot. What a rebuke. The light that you have, the knowledge that you have, and yet they're hearing for the first time. And here is this Syro-Phoenician Canaanite woman shows great faith in Christ, whereas Hebrews, Pharisees, Sadducees, those who knew the Old Testament scriptures, those who were born and brought up on the law, reject it and its author. We don't know the duration of the possession here, but a little daughter. And as I've highlighted in Mark chapter 9, someone who was greatly troubled from a young boy. That's why, parents, we need to pray for our children and grandchildren. How we need to teach them the things of God. How we need to train them up in the way that they should go. That when they're old, they'll not depart from it. How we are to pray that they will remember their Creator in the days of their youth. The place where he went, the person that he met, the power that he defeated. And you know something? Satan was ultimately defeated at the cross. We're coming up on another Easter season. We're not to think of, Satan will be defeated at the end of time. No, he was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross. That's why we can live our lives in victory. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." And here's an example of that here in Mark. He's here to destroy the devil's work. This little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. We don't know how it affected her. But her mummy said, "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." The fourth thing that we want to see is the peace that he gave. Matthew says in verse 28, "The Lord Jesus healed this wee girl at a distance. Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. You have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And Mark puts it beautifully like this. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This was a troubled home. There was no peace nor rest in this home. Maybe this wee girl was up during the night, greatly troubled because of this demon possession. But the Lord Jesus gave us peace. And it's very telling where it says that she came home and the demon had gone. And the reason why the demon had gone is because Jesus had come. And the two can't exist side by side. Jesus had come into this situation now. Jesus had come into this home. He said that he was going to bring his peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Life was never going to be the same for either mother or daughter. We never read of them again. We never read of them again after Mark. I'll tell you, life was never going to be the same because Christ had come into their lives and into their home. Another lesson that we can learn from this too, you know, not just it's a lesson in persevering in prayer, and it's a lesson and rebuke to those who are more privileged than those who are not in coming to Christ. But can I say this? This woman would not have come to Christ unless she had trouble. If all was nice at home, wherever she lived on the coast here of Tyre and Sidon, if everything had been all right with her daughter, she wouldn't have sought out Christ. We can have all kinds of trouble in our lives. This woman is able to say in the words of Psalm 119, verse 71, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." It was good for me. Sometimes the only way that we're going to learn things from God is through trouble, through disturbance in our lives. And I know there are families and there are individuals in the church here that are affected with all kinds of troubles. And you've got to ask yourself, maybe not why me or why am I going through this, but what can I learn from this? What is God teaching me through this? God will never bring anything into a person's life to drive that person away from them. It'll be to bring them nearer to him. It's to bring them into a closer relationship with him. And Bishop J.C. Ryle, who was a great evangelical Church of England, died 1900. In his expository thoughts on the Gospels from Mark, has this comment on this. Trials are intended to make us think, to wean us from the world, to send us to the Bible, to drive us to our knees. Health is a good thing, but sickness is far better if it leads us to God. Prosperity is a great mercy, but adversity is a greater one if it brings us to Christ. Anything is better than living in carelessness and dying in sin. Better 1,000 times be afflicted like the Canaanitish mother and like her flee to Christ than live at ease, like the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, and die at last without Christ and without hope. We never read of him again. And verse 24 of Mark 7 and verse 31, they're like two bookends. Then Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. And then verse 31 says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, because Jesus had done his work. Jesus had done his work. And it's a lovely thought here in verse 30. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. She went home. She had left her home differently to when she returned. She had left her home in a state. Her daughter was being greatly troubled. She had met the Savior. She had gone home in a different state of mind, to a different home, to a different daughter. You've left home this morning. You've come to church. If you don't know the Savior this morning, wouldn't it be lovely if you went home in a different way, having met the Lord this morning? We're going to listen to Good and Gracious King.